y'all need to get used to a concept this year that you're not alone. You're not alone in ministry. You're not alone in family. You're not alone in business. Whenever you get into a situation that doesn't feel good to you, just bow and say, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. You're with me. You're with me in counsel. You're with me in blessing. You're with me in peace. You're with me in power. Oh, Father, we thank you we're not alone. But you're with us. You're with us, Holy Spirit. You're with us tonight, Lord. You're with us. You're here in this atmosphere as your honey fills this room. As your presence fills this room. This is your calling. This is your work. And we're not alone. I step out of the way. Let you have your place. And we give you the glory. You overshadow and cover us. Tonight, we're going to move into the realm of mysteries. Now listen, there is a compounded mystery in the Bible. There's a compounded mystery literally defines the entire mystery of the kingdom of God. It's very interesting because we're going to get into both places. The Lord introduces the mystery, say mystery. People, they need to understand if you're going to operate in the fullness of the kingdom, you're going to have to move into the mysteries of God. Because Jesus said it's a mystery. The mystery of the kingdom. If it's not a mystery, you're probably not in fullness. Do you hear me? It's the mysteries of the kingdom to understand how it works. Amen? He introduces this, and it's very amazing to me, that when he introduces the mysteries of the kingdom for the first time was not in John. That was the crown. John 14, 15, 16, 17 was the crowning. Say crown. But he had already started preparing the way. He introduces this in Mark 4, Matthew 13, Luke 8. This is called the parable of the sower. It's the first time he introduces this in this way. And notice what he says there in Mark 4. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Say parables. Saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. That was verse 3. Verse 11, he said unto them, and he gives the parable of the sower. He says, unto you, say unto you, it's been given to know. To know. Say to know. The mystery of the kingdom of God. And it's just amazing. The ones that it was given to know are the ones that end up operating in it. Amen. But to them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Seeing they may see and hearing they may hear. But he gave it to them to know. And look at verse 20. He says, and these are they which were sown. Verse 13. He said unto them, know you not this parable? How then will you understand any parable? He said, if you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand anything about my kingdom. This is foundation mystery. Amen. This mystery lays the foundation of the kingdom of God. And he culminates it or crowns this mystery with John. Isn't it amazing? John never mentioned the parable of the sower. Luke mentioned it in chapter 8. Matthew, all of chapter 13. Mark, all of chapter 4. But John did not write about this parable. And what's also amazing was that when John crowned this mystery with John 14, 15, 16, and 17, no other writer caught what John caught. And God did that by prophetic design. He did that by design because those writers laid the foundation and John laid his head into the breastplate of the Lord. And when he did that, he caught the crowning mystery. And that mystery opened the church. And it's that mystery we've been walking in. Amen. But that mystery opened up another one. Hallelujah. And we are not only journeying in the mystery of the kingdom, we're on the edge now of the manifestation of the kingdom. Amen. We're not always going to be in mysteries. The mysteries are going to produce. Amen. We're in good company right now because we're treading into the crown. Amen. But I want to look at this for a minute because he starts introducing this parable of the sower, in particularly what he says in verse 20. Because each writer, it's amazing how the Holy Ghost did this. They all heard the Lord individually and distinctly, but they all, what they heard was only a part. And when you put all their parts together, it culminates. Amen? Only Holy Ghost could do that. Look at verse 20. He says, these are they which are sown on good ground. Say, that's me. Now, he talked about the enemy would come. He said, the sower, he's going to sow the word in the heart. And in fact, Matthew 13 called it the word of the kingdom. Say, word of the kingdom. Matthew 13, 19. Look what it says. Matthew 13, 18 says, hear you therefore the parable of the sower. And this is very important. When any man or when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Say, word of the kingdom. We're not just talking about the word. The word has many levels, many functions, many operations. We're talking about the word of the kingdom. Because it's the word of the kingdom the enemy's after. He's not after your knowledge. He doesn't care if you have a big brain and full of knowledge. He's after the word of the kingdom that's been sown into the heart. He's after the word of the kingdom because it's the word of the kingdom that's going to produce the kingdom. And it's that word that he's talking about in particularly. Amen? Not knowledge. It's the word of the kingdom came by revelation, sown into the heart. That's what the enemy's after. That's what will ultimately tear his kingdom down. Amen? Amen. Everyone say amen. Glory. Say word of the kingdom. So whenever you read Matthew 13, Luke 8, or Mark 4, and you ever hear the sower sowed the word in the heart, always say the sower sowed the word of the kingdom. Word of the kingdom. Word of the kingdom. Word of the kingdom. Amen. That's what we carry here. Word of the kingdom. Amen. Word of the kingdom. All right. So Mark 4, verse 20, listen to what he says. Because each writer find something. They hear something. They hear their part. Amen. Everyone has a part. Amen. We all get our part. See, they all heard the part. It's the only time, by the way, in these three chapters is 30, 60, 100-fold fruit ever mentioned in the New Testament. It's in this parable, he's introducing the operation of the kingdom that's going to produce 30, 60, or 100-fold fruit. Amen? We are the generation that's going to bring forth the 100-fold fruit of the kingdom of God. It's going to come. It's going to come rapidly, bursting forth with rapidly flowing fruitfulness. Amen? The river of Eden is going to burst forth. Hallelujah. So, it says, these are they which were sown on the good ground. Say, I am the good ground. Such as hear the word and what? Hear it and receive it. You have to hear the word of the kingdom. Not everyone has ears to hear the word of the kingdom. I'll tell you right now. Some just like to hear the word of salvation. Some like to just get the fire insurance. Some will establish certain truths and land on those truths and stay in those truths. But we have to hear the word of the kingdom. Say, hear it and receive it. The word of the kingdom must be sown directly into the heart by the Holy Spirit and by revelation. Until that light bulb comes on in you, you don't have it. You got to get it and get it until the light bulb comes on. You got to sow it till the light bulb comes on. It's not going to come on here. It's going to come on in here. If you want revelation properly, let the Holy Spirit impart it. He'll impart it through people who walk with him. He'll impart it directly to you. But when he imparts it, it's going to illuminate your spirit. And then your spirit will illuminate the mind. Amen. If you go from the mind to the spirit, you're going to get it wrong. You don't extract revelation by the mind first. It's the spirit that gets illuminated, and then it reveals to the mind. He goes in that order. Amen? The reason why you got 1,000 different revelations for a verse is because everyone's trying to extract things from their mind. The mind does not have the capacity to understand spiritual things without the Holy Ghost. God deals with your spirit. Amen? He likes to deal with your spirit. It's able to receive a lot. So, sown on good ground, they hear it. Now, Matthew, notice what he hears. Look at the notes there, Matthew 13 and 23. Notice what they hear. Matthew hears this. Mark hears, you hear it and receive it. Matthew says, and he that receives seed on the good ground is such that hear the word and what? Understands it. Say understands. It's understanding of the word of the kingdom that takes us to the next level. It's the hearing, the receiving in the heart, and the understanding by the Holy Spirit are those who walk close to him. It's the understanding of the word of the kingdom that prepares the way. Amen. Now notice what Luke hears. I like what Luke hears. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Luke 8. So, but that on the good ground, are they, Luke 8 verse 13, or is that 15? I knew it was 15. But they on the good ground, which were honest and good heart, having heard the word, and what? And what? The word of the kingdom. He didn't say having heard the word and do it. He said having the word and keep it. He'll bring forth the fruit 30, 60, 100-fold with patience. Amen. Having heard it and keep it. Glory to God. Now, so you see, when you put these three together, you have hear the word of the kingdom, receive the word of the kingdom in the heart, understand the word of the kingdom, keep the word of the kingdom. These three writers laid this foundation from which this kingdom was going to manifest. And the culmination of what they said is the finality of it is you're going to have to keep this word in your heart because the enemy's coming. Mark said he's coming with persecution. He's coming with affliction. He's coming with the cares of this life. He's coming with deceitfulness of riches. He's coming with the lust of other things. He's coming to distract. You think that what goes on in your life is just normal. It's not normal. You are not normal. You wouldn't be here if you were normal. You're peculiar. But we are a peculiar people. Amen. But the enemy hates what you carry. Not what you carry in the mind. He hates what you're carrying in your spirit. Because he knows the day when it comes to fruition, he's lost all control. And that word can shake cities to the core. That kingdom can shake cities, nations. He knows it. That's why he comes to stop it in the beginning. Amen. That's why he throws that. That's why your warfare is not natural. When you go to pray and all this stuff's happening, it's not natural. Of course it's not natural. There's atmospheric thieves that stand at the door. He said, I am the door. If by me any man entereth in, he'll be saved and he'll go in and out and find pasture. But the thief will come to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll stand at that door of access. Every day he'll stand there as long as you let him. But as soon as you pull yourself up by the bootstraps. I pray and then I slay. Glory to God. But those atmospheric thieves, you're going to have to slay them. Either that or they're going to control and rule your life. They'll keep you out of the peace of God. They'll keep you out of the rest of God. But you know what? When you overcome them, you'll find out they don't have near as much power as you thought they had. All of their system is built on a lie. All of it. And when your faith overcomes it, you'll realize the lie. The years that I lived outside that door and did ministry, I can't fathom doing that anymore. I can't fathom not being able to go into the rest of God now and hide away in the secret place, hide away in the pavilion of grace, hide away from the world, and none of my enemies can approach me. I can't fathom not living like that. And yet preachers been in ministry 30, 40 years still live on the wrong side of the door. And it wear on you after a while. Notice what Matthew 13 and 12 says. Now, Matthew 13, all about the parable of the sower, he said something very interesting here. Right here in Matthew 13, 12. Because he's talking about keeping the word and all that. Now, notice what he says. For whosoever hath, say hath. Hath what? Well, what was he talking about? The whole chapter, we're talking about the sower, sow the word. He says, whosoever hath my word, has heard it, received it, understood it, kept it. Now he has it. Say he has it. Whosoever has the word of the kingdom, to him shall be given. Given what? The kingdom. He'll be given the kingdom and he'll have more abundance. But whoever hath not, you let that word go. You don't steward that mystery properly. From him shall be taken even what he does have. Do you think the enemy's going to stop if he gets your word? If he takes your word, he'll take everything. You can't let him have it. You have to hold it as that kind of priority. Amen? Now, I want to shift the gear a minute. Now, I want to move in to John's revelation. So we see that these three writers caught the foundation, the mystery. They ended it basically with hear the word, receive the word, understand it, and keep it. But they'd never really, all they said is, and you keep the word, and eventually it's going to produce 30, 60, 100 fold fruit. But they didn't fill in that blank for you. Amen? That was by God design, by the way. Because they were laying the foundation of the kingdom, but John fills in the blank. Amen? Now, how they left it was, Luke left it, he, on good ground, heareth the word of the kingdom and keeps it, will produce 30, 60, 100 fold fruit. That's how they left it. They didn't tell you why or what was going to happen between keeping it and the 100-fold fruit. Amen? That's a pretty big area right there, by the way. I don't know if you're aware of this. Some of you were. When I first got this revelation 2 or 3 years ago, I took that constitution, but I didn't really understand what I was doing. And I held that before God for 2 years. Practically every single day. I would take it up before God and I would acknowledge it before him. I said, I keep his word. I'll never let it go. And I would hold it before him and acknowledge it before him every day. And I'd go through this every single day for 2 years because I believed it. What I didn't realize was I was keeping the wrong word before him. I'm going to explain that to you in a minute. I didn't realize that this was the word of the outflow. Amen? But I needed the other one. Say the other one. The one that created the inflow. But God knew that I was going to keep holding this before him for the next 10 years. And that, by the way, is when he began to open the book of John. And begin to show me, he says, yes, this is what I want to do through you. This is the word that I'm going to do through we all, you all. But there is another one that I have to do in you. Amen. And so I laid this down. That was a hard thing for me to do. I took this and I laid it down and I picked up another word. I picked up the word of John 14, 15, 16, and 17. And when I did, by the way, I'm picking this one up again. It's on the other side of the Father. You pick it back up, but just FYI. When I began to pick up John 14, 15, 16, you've been with us in the journey. That's the one that filled the gap in, by the way, between he that keeps my word and hundredfold fruit. Listen, God is not going to leave you with that gap. He's not going to tell you to keep the word of the kingdom and leave this gap in a mystery and not tell you how this works. The first three writers left the gap. The final one crowned it. Are you with me? John crowned the mystery between keeping it and full-blown manifestation of the kingdom. Isn't that glorious? Glory to God. I like it. So John starts talking about keeping the word. But he starts adding a whole lot more to the equation. In fact, he fills in that huge gap between he that heareth the word and keepeth it, bringeth forth 30, 60, 100 fold. He fills in the mystery of how that works. Amen? And so John, so we've been in there. You already know where we're going. You already see that. But he fills that mystery in. And when the Lord began to show me, he says, I do want you to acknowledge that word before me, but I have this word as higher priority. The word of what? Union. The word of oneness. That is the highest priority. From Old Testament to New Testament, he never changed the priority. In the Old, he said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. In the New, he said, thou shalt keep my word till it brings you to the place where the Father will love you, and you are in him, and he is in you, and you will love him with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, and you will worship him in spirit, because you're no longer worshiping on that mountain or that mountain. You will worship him in spirit, in truth, in Christ, where he is. Isn't that glorious? And that word then will produce the operation of the kingdom. Glory. As we are tracking into the mystery of the three measures right now, and I'm getting a hold of it. And that's when you do pick up the word of your promise. There's two great words you're going to keep in your life. It's the word of oneness and the word of promise. Those are two different words, but they're one and the same. You got the word of union and the word of promise. I was trying to get God to produce the word of promise without the word of union. And because this promise over here wasn't a gift realm promise, it was a hundredfold measure promise, he could not give the word of promise until he gave the word of union. But because we held this word of promise before him for two straight years, he opened the word of union and gave the mystery to how he's going to produce the promise. Amen. Amen. I kind of wish God would explain to all this in the beginning, but you walk it out by faith. That's just the way it is with him. He likes to just walk out the mystery. Amen. We got to walk the mystery out, but glory to God, we are treading in that land between keeping his word and manifestation. Not only are we're treading in the land of keeping the word of union in the manifestation. So let's just rehearse a minute what we've been saying. Then let's move to the three measures for a minute, because there's a whole nother revelation there. I'll whet your appetite a little bit. When God created the earth, he had components from which he created the earth with. When God manifests the kingdom, those exact same components will be present in the manifestation of the kingdom through you. God hadn't changed anything. He's just moving it through you. Amen. So John 16, notice what he says. Jesus says to them, very remarkable verse here, by the way. He says, these things I have spoken unto you in proverbs, metaphors, allegories, parables, mysteries. But the time cometh. See, the mysteries have to produce the encounter. He says, the time cometh when I shall no more speak to you in proverbs, metaphors, allegories, parables, and mysteries, but I'm just going to openly reveal to you the Father. These mysteries are not going to be a mystery anymore. But not only are you going to understand the mystery and hear the mystery and receive the mystery and keep the mystery, it's going to produce what it was designed for. And I'm going to openly reveal the Father to you. And when I openly reveal the Father to you, we're well on our way to the kingdom of heaven manifesting in the earth. Part of our journey, and the reason why God has been so thorough in the way he does things, is because we are called to lay a roadmap down. We're building more than just an encounter and an outpouring. We are called to receive something, but have a map that literally can be transferable to city after city after city after city and nations. A map, a roadmap that was built from the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And just like any time a road is built, it takes a long time to build the road, but you can just zip right down it when it's built. And also, you ever go somewhere and you have to have your little GPS to get there? Once you know the way, you go. Amen? And that's the way God's going to make this pathway. He's going to make it to the people of God. He's going to give them the road and they're just going to go. Amen? What's been a mystery is going to no longer, because he can put a map down. But the people who put the maps in place, wherever we travel, wherever we go, where are those maps? Some of them spent their life laying maps down. So we can easily travel down where the map's at, amen? Where there's a road map that's been built and it's being built by the Holy Ghost. And it's in these mysteries that are being opened up. It's the roadmap to the hundredfold glory. It's the roadmap to the best that God has. And God took this little church with a taco stand and some very peculiar people and stuck them all together. With a whole lot of issues. Even your leader had a lot of issues. He's helping me now. Hallelujah. I'm getting better. Hallelujah. But he took us into the Father. Introduced us to the Father. He says, you're not going to get any of this done without the Father. Don't even think about it. Glory to God. John 14, verse 23, and Jesus answered and said unto him, if, see, there are going to be ifs in the mystery. In the realm of mystery, if a man abide in me where I am in the Father, my words will what? Abide in him. If, say if. So these are some huge ifs. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Which words do you think? He didn't say do here. He said keep. He's going to keep these culminating, crowning words that John 14, 15, 16, and 17 are giving. He said he'll keep these crowning words. And when he does, these words will separate him through all separation. These words will take him over the veil. He'll move him through the veil, whether the forerunner has went. He'll move him to where I am. And then where I am, I'll receive him where I am in the Father. And then I'll introduce him to the Father and I'll present him to the Father. And my Father will love him. And then once my Father loves him, he's bridging the gap here now, by the way. This is how keeping the word, he'll keep him. My Father will love him, transform him, change him, equip him, solidify him, restructure his image, restructure. Ever since I've been in the Father's love, I said, you know, I'm real happy about all you want to do, God, but if you never do it, I'm pretty happy now. You come to that kind of place where God, he restructures your identity because his love will give you all that. See? And he goes, and then, he culminates, my Father and I will come and dwell with you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We're going to dwell with you where you are, and we will begin the manifestation of the kingdom of God in the earth. John filled the gap in. Isn't that glorious? However, and he talks about keeping the word all through John. However, word of the kingdom. In the beginning, he gave a little bitty scripture that contained a huge mystery. And it's that mystery is where we are right now. Amen. How many of you have been tasting of the Father? We are moving. Listen, if we're moving into the Father, he's going to fulfill the rest of it. If he's bringing us to him, he's not going to leave you just there, which is a pretty good place to leave you. In fact, when Rick Joyner read in his book and he talked about going up to the Father's mountain and being there and being loved of the Father, he goes, you never want to leave. And then finally the Lord came to him. He says, you got to go back. He goes, I don't want to go back. He goes, everyone needs what you have now. But don't worry, I'm going with you. And this mountain will go with you. All that you have here will go with you. Isn't that amazing? Saying, he said, my Father, I will go, because eventually God has to bring this kingdom into the world. Amen. But listen, if he got us to love, he's going to get us to what? The rest of the way. I mean, we're there. Amen. I want to take the rest of this service, and I want to share with you just a little bit about the three measures, because he brought this back online this week too. Boy, he's brought a lot back online. Man, he put a lot of stuff online. You never know when we're tracking. We'll go, because I tell people all the time, I said, listen, God's going to give us revelation. We're going to walk in it, but he's given everybody time to simulate that revelation, to walk in it, to move up into it before he goes to the next level. Even though he's moving pretty fast, he just doesn't go bam, 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 bam. He gives everybody time to receive, acclimate, say acclimate to the altitude, receive, acclimate, acclimate. If you're not paying attention, the train will keep rolling. Amen. It's our job to stay with what God's doing. He's moving, the cloud's moving at its pace. But what will happen is you're in the middle of that acclimation process and you're sitting there waiting for the next, I'm waiting for the next level, and God's acclimating the body to the level, and then all of a sudden he shifts. I love those shifts. I live for them. Because I want to go to the next level. Ultimately, I want the crown, like you do. I want to see the kingdom of God. We're talking about the kingdom manifesting. We're talking about the same works that the Lord Jesus did, he'll do through us. The ones that'll shake everything up. It's a gospel of astonishment will return to a first world nation. He will astonish the nation. They're a maimed, and they're a lame, and they're a blind, and they're deaf. And they're going to see, and they're going to hear, their minds are going to come right back to them. DNA is going to be restructured into a body right in front of people. And the media, the demonic news media, are going to get right on it, and they're going to see it, and they have no answer for that. They say the gospel of astonishment. When's the last time you've been astonished? We can get excited, but I haven't been astonished by very much lately at all. He said the gospel of astonishment will be crowned, and this season it will return. It'll return through my people. I'm going to carry. I'm going to bring this to my people in this hour, and that glorious. So he brings me back to this verse in Matthew, same one, Matthew 13, sowed the word, all the, but he finished this particular mystery with this final verse here. Mark talked about the kingdom of heaven is like the grain of a mustard seed. Mark caught all that. But no other writer caught this particular verse here. And there's such treasures in all these places. This is a treasure right now, beyond treasure right here. This Matthew 13:33. This little verse right here is another crown to these mysteries. Listen, pretty soon you're just going to manifest the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's going to start manifesting, but the glorious part of this is you're going to know how it manifests. Amen. Amen. And another parable spake he unto them. Verse 33, and I'll begin my close. Or maybe we'll open it. what the Lord's done, I don't know if you've realized this over the years, he'll introduce something. I had to get used to him doing this because when he introduced it, it was like lightning. Like he introduced dunamis power, he introduced something. You think he's happening that day because the way it would show up in your spirit and the way it get imparted, you think he's ready to do that. He was just planting it. But he wasn't telling me he was planting it. I thought we're ready to go with it. Amen. And I'd come preach it like we're ready to go with it. I'm like, we're going to, and the other day, some days I'd step out with it. I was way out of timing. I've learned not to step out. I've learned to ask him, okay, is this a planting word? Is this a maturing word? Or is this a manifestation time? I need to know. He doesn't always answer me. This is definitely moving to the maturing and the manifestation side here. He originally gave me this in the planting side. But now, you got to know how God deals with you. He don't explain all that to you all the time. Got to know when it's time, amen? Whew. Are you with me? So, I'm believing this is maturing manifestation time, amen? Like, first the blade, then the ear, and the full corn. This is where we're at, full corn, where it's going to start budding, amen? Oh, the day that this vision buds, because we're never going to stop till we have it anyway. I so look forward to that day. Manifestation of the kingdom of God. Whew. Kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Say leaven. It's like unto leaven, which a woman took. Boy, when he opened that up in Cinco Ranch, we went in and found out who the woman was. Boom. That's actually the woman of wisdom. I don't have time to get into that tonight. But she took it. She's the one that's baking the cake right now. Amen. She's prepared her beasts. She's mingled her wine. She's furnished her table. She's preparing a cake. She's preparing a kingdom blessing. She's preparing bread unlike any bread anybody's eating in this generation right now. She's preparing this inside of you. And when it gets well done, she's going to bring it out of your oven and she's going to release it to the world. Amen. But right now, it's sitting up in our oven. Some of us are in the baking stage. Some of us are in the mixing stage. Amen? She got to get her ingredients right. And then she's going to put it in your oven. And she's going to turn the heat up. Hot. God is not going to bake anything cold. If you are cold, you are not ready for this cake. You got to get hot. Amen. She's going to turn the heat up or you get a hungry hot for God. When this cake comes out, when this bread comes out, it's going to come out of an oven that's very hot for God. I promise you, it's not coming out of an ice cold oven. Have you ever baked anything in ice? The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and she hid in. Three measures, say three. There's a reason why she put that right there in that chapter. Three measures until the whole was leavened. So what do you have? You have the woman that's baking. You have the leaven. And you have three measures. Amen? When all that gets right, that kingdom, that bread is going to come out and God's going to serve it to the world. And when he opens that bread, it's going to be like the bread that Jesus multiplied. It's never, ever going to stop flowing. It'll just produce one loaf after another, after another, after another. And what it's delivering is what the world has no answer for. It's going to deliver the manifestation of the kingdom of God. It's going to deliver it in the kingly arena. It's going to deliver it in the apostolic priestly arena. It's going to deliver it in the prophetic arena. It's going to deliver the fullness. And she's baking it. And she's been baking it. She's mixing the bowl. Right now, the bowl's being mixed. We're a part of that mixing. Your spirit's a part of it. It contains three major measures. Took me a long time to understand this mystery. But the good news is we're two-thirds there. The first measure is the word. Amen. All of these measures, by the way, were in the original creation. He's not changed his recipe. He just changes the way he delivers it. He's going to deliver his recipe through you. But he hadn't changed the recipe. The same recipe that was in the beginning is going to be the same recipe. It's the same creative operation of God. Isn't that glorious? When he created the world, how did he create the world? With the word of God. He spoke it, didn't he? Amen? What did Hebrews say? Look at Hebrews 11. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you have substance, and you have evidence, and you have faith. What do you think faith is? Faith is your leaven. What he said about children of Israel, he gave them the word, but they didn't what? Mix the faith. Without faith, there is no leaven. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The word of God. So the things that are seen were not made by things that do appear. Listen, the world we live in, trees, land, animal life, atmosphere, stars, sun, moon, light itself. What was the first thing God created? Light. What was Jesus? What the first thing he said when he came on the scene? I am the light of the world. I will prove that I am the creator. Amen. He said the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things that are seen were not made. What do you think they're made by? They were made by this word that was spoken. It was invisible, but then it became flesh. See that word you carry inside of you? You got word of union that brings you the Father, and you got word of promise. It's invisible. Do you understand if God pulled this cloak back and the world could see what we're carrying? But he's going to do better than that. He's not going to pull the cloak back. He's going to open the veil. And he's going to take this word, it's going to become flesh, and it's going to dwell among men. But not just the word, because there's three ingredients to creative life. Three major components. The word is the foundational component represented by the word, which is Jesus himself. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. All things were made by him. The word. Amen. Now, it said it was invisible. There was another invisible component. Well, the word, yes. Word, dunamis, and love. Not just any love. Father's love. That's why we had to get to the Father. Because without that love, Father's love, you're not going to have fullness of kingdom. In fact, what it said, faith, what? Works by what? Love. There's evidence, there's substance, and there's foundation. Faith works by love. The evidence, the word, the substance of your faith is dunamis, creative power. The final measure. Who do you think represents that one? Holy Ghost. Everywhere you see dunamis, you see Holy Spirit. By faith, Sarah conceived. By faith, Sarah received the dunamis to conceive. Mary was overshadowed with the Holy Ghost and creative dunamis power. She conceived. You'll be anointed with the Holy Ghost and dunamis power. He's bringing it with him. Isn't that glorious? Now, when you start talking about dunamis, this kind of dunamis, you're talking about outflow, creative, dunamis power for the manifestation of the kingdom of God. If he's got us to love, he's going to get us to dunamis. I'll give you one more scripture, Roman, and I'll close. He says the invisible things, just like the world was framed by the invisible word, it was also framed by the invisible substance. The invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, clearly seen by the things that are made. Everything that was made had an invisible property to it that must and was necessary to have been present before that was manifested. People just think God just spoke it. There were things in creation that were present for the manifestation of that creation. When he spoke, dunamis was present. When he spoke, the word was present. See, it was present. See it? And that invisible dunamis creative power became visible and manifested. You see this when it said virtue flowed out of him. It was an invisible virtue flowing out of him, and they were all healed. That word virtue was dunamis creative power. When it flowed out of him, it went from invisible to visible creation. The woman touched the hem of his garment, and virtue flowed out of him. She touched his dunamis. He was a carrier of dunamis power. She went in and touched his dunamis. There are times it'll flow out, and other times people will draw on it. Because he was a carrier of the dunamis. The Father was with him. The Word, the Father, and dunamis, the Holy Ghost, it was all there. Isn't that glorious? All that's dunamis. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to what? The dunamis that's working where? In us. In. That dunamis is going to begin transferring now. The Father's love is in, we have his word. We have his word that brought us to his love. Now his love is bringing us to dunamis. And the operation of the three measures is going to be leavened right before the world. There's going to be a supernatural expansion of the kingdom of God with these three measures. And you're going to see the creative power of God move and manifest among men. Glory to God forever. Not only will it manifest, it's going to be continuous. Continuous carriers of the glory. Continuous carriers of the Father's love. The Father's love is not a one-time shop. It's continuous. The Word of God has not been a one-time drop. It's been continuous revelation. Continue, because why? We are following that Word. And it's taken us to the Father, and it's going to take us to the world. And that dunamis creative power is continuous. We now, listen to me. I've closed. Listen to me. We now, yesterday God said something when the Spirit of the Lord came upon us in the spirit of prophecy. He said, he goes, pray where your grace is. And he said like this, where I am is where your greatest grace is. You know what he meant by that? If you'll follow him where he is, not just individually, but intercessors, listen to me. If you'll know where he is corporately, you'll know where his greatest grace is. You pray in accordance to where he is. Don't pray out of alignment for something way out there. Pray where he is. Where is he? Where is he right now? You have to define where he is for you. But where he is he for Father's house corporate right now? Where is he? Where has he been? Where has he been? Where were we? He brought us into the Father. We're still there. I get that part. We're always there. It's a continuous thing. What's next? Dunamis. The addition of dunamis. Gotta have the dunamis. Gotta have the oil from the olive trees. The continuous oil. That's where he is. Intercessors, listen to me. If you'll start praying for the oil, he'll start manifesting it because that's where he's at. He said, now I want you, I'm just telling you where we are. I'm just talking to you people like we're all together. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, pick this up again. I said, God, it's been a while since I've held this. He said, oh, no. He says, but it's been good, hadn't it? I said, yes. I could have stayed in the love of the Father forever. He said, that will always be with you now. That is yours. It's always yours. He'll always be there. He goes, well, we have to do this now. He goes, but it's not you. It's we doing it. He goes, well, you need dunamis now. So I want you to pick this back up. I want you to hold it before the Father. What'd he say? In that hour, I'll no longer speak to you in parables, but I'll openly reveal the Father's love. And once I do, then you'll pray to him where he is, where I am, and he'll answer you. He goes, pick these words back up and begin asking for the oil now. The dunamis creative power. And yesterday when he spoke by prophecy to him that had ears to hear, listen to me. He said, corporately, if you know where you are, if you know where I am, you'll have the greatest grace. Pray where the grace is. The grace is where I am. Do you hear that? We pray where he's at. In other words, he's now opening the door for dunamis. Pray for the dunamis. Pray. Don't pray lightly. Pray boldly. Pray for the continuous dunamis power. Pray for the final measures. Pray for the cake to be completed. Pray for the leavening of the measures. Pray for this kingdom bread to be completed that he's been working on. I have never seen anybody bake a cake so long in all my life. 7 years he's been fixing this thing. 7 years! Really 28, but seven intense ones. He's getting us ready to live in them. He wants one more measure in there. And he's asking, he says, my grace is, my intercessors begin to pray for the dunamis so he can finish the cake and leaven it. Did you get all that? Or did it just go pew? If you understood that, you need to give yourself a hand. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I could walk into places and try to preach that places they think they know something. And they would look at me like, what planet did you just come off of? The reason you understand that is because you've been following this. Had you not been following this, it had gone like this. But because you've been following it, like the Lord would say, blessed are our ears that hear. Blessed are we that understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Don't take that lightly. The fact you understand mysteries, there are people in generation that spend all their life praying 15 hours a day that don't understand that. What you understand tonight. They prayed and they fasted all their life to approach this realm with an insatiable hunger. And they came short of it. Because they didn't understand the mysteries of how it worked. They had the hunger, they had the thirst, but they didn't have the revelation. God has blessed us. I think we should just thank him. Amen. Let's stand for a moment. Faith is growing. Dunamis will put a supercharger on like you've never seen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This kingdom requires all three. It requires all three components. The three of you present with the components that you so bring. We just say thank you. By grace, we're here. By grace, we understand these things. And by grace, we will continue to follow at all costs, no matter the cost. And we've paid a dear one. There's no doubt about it. Great and dear friends have walked away from this place. But we are not going to walk away until we see, our eyes see this bread. Until our eyes see this glorious bread. This table you've been preparing and this bread you're going to put in front of humanity. And in our hands, we get to partake with you, Father. We get to see the blind see. And know we will. We get to see the maimed walk and the lame behold. We get to see it. We get to know and transfer it to others. What a glorious thing you've given us. What a glorious calling. We are not alone. You are with us to do it. Bless everyone that's heard these words. Keep the shield raise a shield around them that the enemy cannot approach. Keep everyone in this house focused. Keep everyone in this house aligned. We may see this bread come out of heaven, invisible, the invisible things made visible, Father. I can taste it now. I see it. Thy kingdom come, Father. Thy will be done on the earth by these mysteries. Through these mysteries, Father. We just want to be where you are, Lord. We want to be where you are. That's all. That's where grace is. The Spirit of the Lord said something the other day, yesterday. I want you to understand this. He says, do not look at where you are. Look at where I am. Do not look at your faults, shortcomings. This is not about where you are. It's about where he is. Your faith will cross you way over a line. He'll take you way over to where he is. And when you're where he is, he'll perfect you. We take our eyes off of our own faults. We take our eyes off our own shortcoming, our own struggle. We set them upon where you are, Lord. We set them on these great mysteries. We follow you. As we follow you to the Father, we'll follow you to the ends of the earth with this glorious gospel. The gospel of the kingdom of God. This word will become flesh. This kingdom will dwell among men.